Well, good morning, TLC. As Justin said, my name is Andy Cawthorn, and I am the Minister of Kingdom Mobilization. It is a mouthful to say, and a lot of people give me confused looks when I introduce myself that way. So let me tell you a little bit about my role. Here, I have an amazing team that has been tasked to launch the Kingdom Work, which is helping people follow Jesus through word and deed in Arvada, in the West, and through the world. As we go through this sermon, you're going to hear a little bit more about what our team does, and I'm looking forward to telling you about it. It's my joy to continue the second week of our values series. Last week, we defined values as the principles we have as a church that create a boundary for the church's mission. They help keep us aligned to help you follow Jesus, build relationships, and discover your purpose. In other words, our values are the behaviors that make TLC unique in accomplishing our mission. I also want to refresh you on what our five core values are, which is last week we talked about seeking God desperately. Today I have the pleasure about talking about loving where we live. We want to engage everybody. We also want to bless and be generous, and we want to really invest in our families. Now, I'm not a native of Colorado. I'm initially from Southern California, but there are two things that qualify me, I think, to be in good graces of natives or to be an honorary native. First, I moved out here about 18 years ago before it was actually cool to move here. And second, I married a beautiful woman named Katie, who is a Colorado native, and I think that in itself allows me to be an honorary native. I bring this up to you today because where I am from in California and what I've seen through across the country and the world is every place has their own way of pronouncing words, streets, and cities. For example, in Long Beach, we do have a street that goes through Long Beach, and it's called Alameda. Here, it is called Alameda. See the difference? The big one here, though, is Arvada versus Arvada. It took me forever to change the pronunciation of that, and it used to drive my wife crazy whenever I would say it the wrong way. Now, it wasn't until I got serious with her that I actually came to realize how important it was to name the places that I live correctly. And although it might seem small, making a very slight adjustment can really show you how much you love where you live, and just as important, being on the good graces of your wife. It's funny because last week I took Addie out to California for a friend's surprise birthday party, and while we were waiting for the guest of honor to arrive, I was sitting down with an old friend, and he was telling me that he actually visited Colorado a couple years ago, and he did come to a small town called Arvada. At that time, I winced, and he actually noticed me wincing, and I had to correct him in what he said. While it is all good fun with how I've presented this first bit, it really is truly the small things that we do for our city, for our community, that show how we love and how we value the place we live. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is about loving where we live, which leads to our big idea for today, in that TLC has a value of loving our literal neighbors, engaging our city, and empowering it to thrive. When Justin approached me a few months ago about being the Minister of Kingdom Mobilization, again, a mouthful, I was all in. This is something that I feel called for, and I was so excited for, and I'm still excited for. Problem is I did exactly what Justin was talking about. I was focusing on the global piece. I forgot all about the local piece. Isn't that something that all of us do when we get excited? We always think about the big picture. We always think about how we can make things go so big. But really, it's when we take the time and we do the small things that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sooner than you know it, you're bigger than you ever thought. You're doing things more amazing than you ever thought possible. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The disciples started small in their own city, and only then they could grow with the other areas. For me and my team to move forward effectively, we needed to start small and build a strong foundation of loving and serving the local Arvada community. Today, I want to show you three action steps that will help shape love where we live value, which leads me to our first action, which is we love where we live by loving our literal neighbors. In Matthew 22:36-39, it says, "Teacher, which command is the law, and the law is the greatest? He, being Jesus, said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me say that in case you missed it, and I want you guys to participate with me. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus knows that through love, people will know who he is and what he did to save us from our sins. There is actually a song that we sang when I was a kid at a camp that was very popular at the time, and it still kind of is, where the ending of each verse was saying, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. So why is it so hard for us to love our neighbors as ourselves? Sure, the second greatest commandment could have said, love those that talk like you, act like you, walk like you, or are like you. But no, it says to go out there and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is doing what is best for someone, even when it costs us and puts someone else's needs above our own. And this TLC is where a great number of us, including myself, have failed miserably. It is so much easier to tell somebody that they're doing something right or wrong based on the scriptures that we've been shown or how we've been raised in the church. It is so much harder to still love the person even if we don't agree with them. Now, I want to hear me clearly on this. Love is not affirmation. Love is something completely different. We are there to love the person. Think about it. If we were going to just get to know our neighbors, and we were to listen to our neighbors, and we heard their concerns, and we found out what they actually woke up for, what was their purpose, wouldn't that take us from a nameless neighbor, to a friend, and finally somebody that we can maybe share the gospel with and become brothers and sisters in Christ? I mean, that's the whole point of us. When I say this, I want you to hear that I don't mean for you to go home in the next hour and go next door, knock on their door, and present Jesus. Or after that, in the next couple weeks, always present them the scripture. What I want you to do is to be intentional. And as hard as that is to believe, the extreme tactic of banging on the door and presenting Jesus is what people perceive Christians as. What this action actually means is this, and I want you to hear this, TLC. One of the most impactful things you could do for the kingdom, your personal faith, and the betterment of the city is becoming intentionally involved in the lives of your literal neighbor. This will help you develop the relationship so that when the Holy Spirit does call upon you, and he might, you're able to go present the gospel to your neighbors. But this time, you're not going to be some random face. You're going to be their friend that was there for them when they had an accident, or when they had to go out and do something and you had to watch their kids for them, or they're out of the country and you're mowing their lawn. This will also lead, I'm warning you, to messy situations, because as you all know, we are messy people. But the good news about our faith is we have Jesus Christ to get us through those messy situations. We don't have to do it on our own, we have him. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus and his family are actually good neighbors? In John chapter 2, Jesus and his mother were invited to a neighborhood wedding. And back in those days, the wedding was a community event. As a matter of fact, we see that they were such great neighbors that Jesus' mother Mary was given authority to oversee the servants at some point. Now, during this wedding, the wine was about to run out, and even in that time, it was a major faux pas, just like it is today, to run out of the wine. So what Mary did was she went to Jesus, asked him to do something, and then she went to the servants and said, do as he tells you, referring to Jesus asking the servants to bring him the 6 stone jars of water. Now, I want to give you some follow-up context to the story as to why to Jesus and his mom were such great neighbors. Like I said before, it is a major faux pas to not have enough wine at the party. But back then, if you ran out of the wine, out of the food, out of any kind of party, the people looked at it as a slight to the guests. And they were ridiculed. The wedding couple, the bridegroom, were ridiculed for the rest of the time that we were in that community. So Jesus saw the importance of this. and he decided to perform a miracle so that his neighbors were able to not be ridiculed by the people around him. Sometimes, to get to know the neighbors, things happen that you don't plan for when you might need a rescue. A couple years ago, Katie and I moved into our new home up north, and Katie was unpacking some boxes, and she stepped outside in our garage, and the door shut behind her. Well, there was a couple problems. First, the door locked behind her. Second, our nearly two-year-old twins were fast asleep in their nap. And third, she did not have her cell phone on her. So she became very, very frantic. I was at work that day, and I got this random phone call from a random number that I didn't recognize. And when I answered it, I was actually met by my wife's voice asking me how far away I was. Sadly, I was about an hour away, and I couldn't make it back home. But I did came to find out that that random number was my next-door neighbor's phone line. Alfred and Agnes welcomed Katie into their home. They could have not answered the door. They could have told her to go away, but instead they welcomed her into their home, sat down with her, allowed her to call me, gave her something to drink so she could kind of de-stress a little bit and try to realize what she needed to do. That right there is true neighboring. We went from a nameless neighbor that we passed by a few times and said hi to friends. And like I said before, now Alfred and Agnes and myself and my family are close. And they're in Ghana right now, and guess what? I'm out there along with our neighbors helping them mow their lawn while they're gone, because it's about the intentionality of it. What Alfred and Agnes did for my wife instilled in me that having an intentional relationship with your neighbors is paramount in sharing the gospel. We felt so welcomed and cared for, and it took our relationship, like I said, from strangers to friends, and we both miss them dearly. We can't wait for them to get back when they come back in a couple months. So you might be asking, how can we get involved in our neighbors' lives? There is a book that I have read and listened to recently again that changed my views on neighboring that I want to share with you. The book is called Art of Neighboring and is written by Jay Pathick and a former pastor here in Arvada named Dave Runyon. The book details biblical and practical ways to how to connect with your literal neighbors and the value that it brings to both you and them. A tangible takeaway from this book is a challenge to the reader to know the immediate 8 neighbors around you. Now, I don't want you to look at this as just getting your neighbor's name. This is actually finding out information about them. And if you feel so inclined, getting their phone number as well so you can make phone calls to them. Another great intention about this is going to take multiple interactions. But you got to remember, in each conversation, each touch point, each wave of hello, you're developing a relationship with these people. Using this tool from this book, I've learned more about our current neighbors over the past 2 years than I have the 5 years that we lived in the neighborhood before. And that right there, that hurts. That hurts a lot. There is a chart, as you can see on the screen here, and I have the magnet right here that you can pick up at our table on the way out. So your home is going to be right here. You're going to put your name. And then you're going to figure out the immediate 8 neighbors that surround your home. Now, I know some of you back to a green belt. I know some of you are in apartments and townhomes and you don't have a neighbor behind you. Guess what? You just got to spread out farther left and right or in front of you. I want you to fill out this card. What this exercise allows to happen is for you to develop a genuine, intentional relationship with those that live immediately around you. The chart goes somewhere that you will see it regularly, like on your fridge or anywhere that's magnetic. And the point of it is for you to pray for your neighbor by name. Because here's the reality. Our neighboring is just a part of our action of helping people follow Jesus. The greatest part of getting to know your neighbors is praying desperate prayers for them, asking the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do in the hearts and for Him to open the doors for us to share. This is a saying that Justin says many times, but it's God does the saving, we do the sharing. And I want you to hear it again. God does the saving, we do the sharing. The reason that sharing part is so crucial is because with God doing the saving, it takes the personal pressure off of us, because you're not going to get 100% yes to the faith. And when you have that pressure taken off of you, it distresses you and it relieves you from feeling like a failure for not getting that yes. Now that we have discussed the act of loving our immediate neighbor, let's jump into our second action, which happens right here at TLC. TLC, we love where we live by engaging our city. Jesus and the early church loved the places they lived and engaged with the people who lived next to them. They fed the 5,000. They visited the homes of their neighbors. They performed miracles. They shared meals with each other. They prayed for the people of the city. They were more than just teachers. They were great neighbors. They were active members of the community who intentionally engaged those who lived near them. I want you to look at what Jesus did in the book of Matthew in chapter 9, verse 35. And there's a few words I'm going to have you read out when I go to it. So Jesus continued going around to all the what church? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. He sent his disciples to do this to the other villages and towns and pairs. Jesus had a great focus on the cities because it was there where the people were. Paul, probably arguably the best missionary in the history of missionaries, mankind, had so many instances where he loved and valued the cities. And I want us to look at a couple of those right now. In Acts 13, 14 through 52, we're not going to read the entire thing, but Paul and Barnabas go and proclaim the gospel to Antioch. And the word of the Lord spread through the region. Again, Paul and Barnabas are together in Acts 14, 8 through 10 in Lystra, where Paul performs a miracle for a lame man. And it says that Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet," and he jumped up and began to walk around. This next one is probably one of my favorites, is Acts 16, 25 through 34. Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi, and yet they're still praying and worshiping God. That's amazing. You're sitting there in jail and you're still praying and worshiping the Creator. And all of a sudden this earthquake happens, all the jail doors open up, and guess what? The prisoners are free. And who do you think was scared? The guard. The guard was scared. But what did Paul and Silas do? They continued praying. They protected that guard. And through the faith and discipling, they saved that guard physically and spiritually. And not only him, his family found Jesus and they were baptized. Three different situations where the text intentionally mentions cities to show that Paul engaged the communities he was in, but the Lord was the focal point in each of those interactions. TLC, this shows us how important engaging the city really matters. There's actually a member of our church that wanted to stay anonymous that exemplifies what Paul did. Now, they never went to jail or anything like that, but this person just exudes the faith. What they will do is they will go out to strangers and friends and talk about Jesus. They have that confidence in them. Their faith is so strong that while they are taking a sabbatical from their profession, they have deemed themselves our church's unofficial intern, which I just love. They are continually looking the new ways to reach the community, and they have brought to our church and our team ways to engage the city through several unique service opportunities like connecting with foster care, which you guys just heard about with us donating the $350 in Uber gift cards, a way to connect with the homeless, and they are leading the way for me and our entire church on what it means to be a good neighbor with our city. There are several of you that already do this, and I still want you to continue doing this. But I want to challenge you, those that have not done this, that have not engaged the community, to start doing that. And guess what? We have a vast amount of opportunities coming up within the next few weeks, next few months, and the next year. The first serving opportunity, which was listed on announcement today, is our high-energy, impactful, and fun kids camp that is happening in just a few short weeks. If this sounds like a place you want to plug into, our amazing new children's director, Ashlyn, will be around, and you can talk to her about it, or you can go to the localchurchco.org/events and fill out a form. All my girls are going there, and I know a lot of their friends are going too, and we want people to be involved in this so they can be a part of their lives and bring in the gospel to our children. My team will also, Kingdom Mobilization team, will also have a table in back for sign-up if you're interested in getting any information on local servant opportunities. One thing I'm proud of what the local church has done for the past year and is going to continue doing is the severe weather shelter. We get cold here, people, and they need help with that stuff. So if you are interested in joining in our second year with the severe weather shelter, I encourage you to talk to myself or anybody on my team. There's also one other one I wanted to highlight where we have amazing partnerships with the Hope House and Beyond Home. If you don't know what they are a group of people that have taken families off the streets. They're not fully on the streets yet, but they're about to be there. I'm so happy because we met with Beyond Home about a month ago with my team, and the director pointed out what the different things they did. So for your knowledge, some of the things that Beyond and Hope House do is they provide counseling. They provide ways of making ends meet. They provide a way to show, hey, this is how much rent it's going to cost, so we're going to show you how to do that, kind of thing like that. What else is great is they provide counseling, and they provide classes for their kids. I love this organization. The next stat that she told me last month when we met was in the past 5 years, 37 of 38 families that have graduated from the program are still self-sufficient today. That right there, I mean, can you just imagine what that's like? We took this, they took this family that was struggling, that they were at their worst, and they provided them with the nurture, the learning, and they are now self-sufficient today. That is something that we can be a partner of. That is something that we can move forward with. Partnering with programs such as Hope House and Beyond Home are crucial to allow our city to be engaged. And this will lead to my final step, which is we love where we live by empowering our city that thrives. So when I was a teenager, just became a teenager, my mom was transferred from Bakersfield, California to Long Beach, California. Now, for those of you that don't know the difference between Long Beach, California and Bakersfield, California, is Long Beach is beautiful beaches, maybe 80 degrees and less temperature year round. All my sisters and I's family and friends was there. Bakersfield, on the other hand, is hot. 112 degrees last weekend when I was there. It is also a cow town, and it smells like it. And then also, other than a few acquaintances that my sister and I had from camp, we had absolutely no friends there. To put it mildly, the move was less than ideal. If you recall, the Israelites also made an unwanted move when they were exiled out of Jerusalem and sent to Babylon. Being a teenager at the time, I personally compared their exile to my move from Long Beach to Bakersfield. But, of course, it's nowhere near in comparison. So let's actually read what Jeremiah said to Israel. And this is found in chapter 29, verses 4 through 7 in Jeremiah. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Find wives for yourselves and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage so they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive. Israel was exiled from the promised land, and yet God still wanted them to thrive. It's not a time to sulk and be downtrodden. They need to look towards the beauty and amazing things that the community they were in could develop. That's why TLC, we are called to do the exact same thing. While I'm hoping that none of you are exiled here to Arvada, we should still want to thrive and make our community great. In other words, although we might not be exiled, find the words redeeming to root here and to fight to make this your home. When you begin to root, you'll start to see and value the things around with more beauty and ownership. You'll have a heart for the city that wouldn't otherwise. God wanted Israel to have ownership in their foreign land, and we too are foreigners because none of us are originally from here. We're from somewhere else. And are called to root here and help Arvada thrive. You can do this by eating, shopping, and playing locally. If you want to know what is local, refer to this QR code that we'll have on the screen for a little bit. You're more than welcome to take the link. With this link, you can learn about what types of businesses and activities are local here in Arvada. There is a big reason as to why we serve Corvus Coffee in our cafe. It's because it's great coffee and it's local. There's a reason why we attended barbecue classes at Ruff's Barbecue last week, and why we like to show up local from our vendors when anytime we put on an event, if possible. Our church also strongly supports our Arvada Police Department and the first responders because they are the ones to keep us safe and respond when there is a need. I'm sure all of you have noticed Officer Sean out in the foyer there. I want to encourage you to shake his hand and thank him for what he's doing for us. They are an amazing group of people that come through this church. A way that we have made our community thrive is, sadly, in the last year, we've had a few officers pass away. 8 people from our church went to that service to recognize those two officers, and I'm proud of our church for doing that. Another way we can make our community thrive is we are known in our state to be an outdoor state. So why not on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday through Friday, if you're with your kids, take them to Ralston Central Park and play in the water pad, the splash pad. Or get a group of people and go walk up and down the creek and pick up trash. Another practical way to do this is a prayer walk. Go to your neighbors. Go through your neighborhood and pray for those people that are on your list 8 times and pray for them individually. Go to City Hall. Pray for those people that are overseeing anything that is going on in our city. Go to the schools. Pray for those children. Pray for those teachers. Finally, how many of us actually pay attention with what's going on in city council or school board? I want to encourage you to actually maybe take 1 or 2 nights a year to go look at this. Justin and myself and one other actually went to the state of the city address a couple weeks ago or a month ago. It was amazing to hear the things that was going on in Arvada and the things that have happened in the past 20 years since the mayor was elected the first time. It's getting that information right there is going to introduce us to things. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Altogether, I think we have a mindset of how can I add the value of community I'm in. I don't know what that might be for you, but before next week gets too far gone, would you take some time to think about ways that you can add value to Arvada or the area that will help you thrive? So do you know that Arvada's theme is all in? And we're going to actually have it up here on the screen. I love that this is a slogan. Whoever came up with that knew that the entire city was all in. Great things could happen. And all in is just another way of saying love where you live. As believers, we should be leading the way of being all in and loving where we live. When others just see this place as a sleep they commute from and sleep from, we see it as a home and community we want to love and serve TLC. Maybe we can lead together by loving this place so it will thrive now and for generations to come. So how are you going to do this? How are you going to be part of the city, and how are you going to allow it to thrive and love where we live? Maybe it's taking the challenge of going to your 8 immediate neighbors and beginning a relationship with them. If we have 35 households in this church, which it looks like we might have a little bit more today, which is awesome, we would be touching 280 neighbors altogether. Just imagine the arm that we would have if we were to continue going that way. I mean, it's unfathomable. What are you going to do to engage the community? Are you going to step out of your comfort zone and volunteer at kids camp with a bunch of toddlers that are going to be running around screaming their heads off? I hope so, because my 2 toddlers are going to be part of that. Or will you show your support for worthy support organizations such as Beyond Home or Hope House or the Severe Weather Shelter? Again, please see my team in back in the foyer to see if you want to sign up. So I really want to reflect and to think about this, TLC. How can we make an amazing city thrive and truly show how we love where we live? That's the challenge. I want you to love where you live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have just given us a beautiful city with beautiful people. And Lord, I just ask that as a church, as wants to grow, that wants to lead people to you, that you are able to just to guide these people and to be able to have those fun conversations with their neighbors, which could lead to even things to lead to more. God, just be with our people as we go throughout the rest of this summer and we have all these different opportunities to make our city thrive. We love you and we thank you and pray. Amen.